want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries.
Well, I would just want to thank God and welcome every person to the podcast today. I want to thank God for all the members of the body of Christ. I want to thank God for all the family of God. And I pray grace be upon every person who calls upon the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, we all just give you thanks for your Son. We thank you for bringing us to your Son. And I want to give glory, honor, and praise to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Lord from heaven, by whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Okay, so I am going to be speaking on instruction and righteousness, or what's the right way to live. If you would turn to 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration to God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So I've been dealing with how the law of Moses was done away with, and I've spoken on this many times in different ways, and many struggle with this, and many reject that teaching. Now let's look at how the Word of God instructs us in righteousness, and what is the right way to live, and then we're going to see all this. This is all going to make sense. Ephesians 4:25, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Okay, now Scott, here's a clear example how we are to obey the Ten Commandments. You know, it says put away lying, because one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not bear false witness. And what you just quoted here tells us not to do it. Okay, well, let's read this scripture in context and see if we're to obey the Ten Commandments or if, in fact, we're to deal with the sin of lying with our faith. Because it's very important for you to understand this, to know God's way. Now let's go back a few verses. Verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created righteous, true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. That's a conjunction. That's referring back to verse 22. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one another. So, like I said, wherefore is a conjunction, is referring back to putting off of the old man. Here, where it says put away lying, it's saying put off the old man. Now, I want to show you this is using your faith to overcome lying, and it applies to every other sin. Okay? Turn to Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Lying is one of the traits of the old man. It is part of that body of sin that entered into man through the fall. And then even since that time, it can be conceived in you by yielding to lying, or what, you know, as you're walking in your daily life. We're all born with some sin in us. We have to have it taken out. And more sin can be conceived in you if you yield to it. Okay, now, putting off lying, you're supposed to do that believing. This is the way you put off lying. You're supposed to do that believing he was crucified with Christ. See, we're instructed to keep reckoning the old man dead and not yield to him. And you can find this all written in the sixth chapter of Romans. Okay, verse 7, 6th chapter of Romans. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Okay, see here it says, we'll be free from sin as we deal with it in faith, believing we were crucified with Christ, which then it'll be by the Spirit of God putting it to death. Okay, Now let's look what happens. And in this, those of you that are familiar with the Romans 6, because I'm not going into real great detail right now, and I've spoken this many times, but it told us to put off the old man, wherefore put away lying. And it's saying right here that the old man was crucified, and the way you, and putting him off is just not yield to him, and you keep reckoning him dead. Okay? And you'll overcome lying. Now look what happens if you try to deal with lying by the law of Moses, because people are reading that thinking, oh, it says put away lying. We're supposed to keep the Ten Commandments. Okay, look what happens if you try to go that route. Romans 7:8. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, this is the law of Moses, wrought in me or worked in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. Okay, you're going to try to deal with lying by saying thou shalt not bear false witness? Look at this same scripture in the International Standard Version. But sin seized the opportunity provided by this commandment and produced in me all kinds of sinful desires. Since apart from the law, sin is dead. So faith in the gospel that Jesus died for our sins and we died with him and he was raised from the dead and we were raised up with him puts to death the sin in us. As we put off the old man, like putting off lying or just simply don't yield to it. Remember, some people are so bound to different sins, they may be trying not to yield to it, but they still do. But as you keep trying to not yield to something, hold fast the gospel, walk after the Spirit of God, look what happens to you. Because, you know, some people read this, okay, don't yield to it, and if I don't yield to it, then I'll overcome it. But then they keep doing it. But we know in the seventh chapter that which you would not do, you do, and that which you try to do, you don't do. That's when you can tell you're bound by something. Okay, a good example of that is people get angry and say things to other people they shouldn't say. But they're bound. And they try not to do it, and they turn right around and do it. Well, you're going to have to be set free from that. Now, look at how you get set free from that. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now, no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, therefore, is referring back to the seventh chapter, what I just said. You're doing things you're trying not to do that are wrong, and you're trying to do the right thing, but you don't always do it. So, and that's because we're in the slavery of sin, we're under the power of sin. Now, look what happens if you walk after the Spirit. And that just simply means you put forth effort to keep the words of God. You put forth effort to put off doing the wrong thing and to do the right thing according to the Word of God, or do what's right in the sight of the Lord. Okay, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Okay, see, you get set free keeping or by putting your trust in the gospel and keep obeying the words of God. Even if you're a weak believer, even if you fail over and over, if you keep walking in the Spirit, you'll overcome. You'll overcome. You read this word and you keep putting it in your heart, faith will come. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And faith and a revelation of the gospel will produce salvation in the person's heart. See, I'm saying it this way because there's many, when they first come to the Lord, they're real bound. Now, some are not as bound as others if they haven't went out and violated their conscience and done all these things that are wrong. But wherever you're at, Romans 8:1 will show you that you God accepts you where you're at. Just walk after the Spirit and he'll set you free. Okay. Now, if you try to overcome sin by keeping the law of Moses, look what will be working in you. Verse 9, for I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. You try to apply the law to overcome sin, and it just makes the sin in you come alive. And then you die. Why? Because you're separated from God because of that sin. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me by its looming. Now, if you ministers out there, if you'd read this, you should beginning to get the idea, what am I doing teaching the law? For sin taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me by its looming. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment's holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me, God forbid, but sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Sin by the commandment become exceedingly sinful. Putting the law on people makes them become exceeding sinful. See? So you see what happens when you put the law of Moses on people? All the sin that's in them will become more sinful. Now, if they don't have that particular sin in them, it's not going to stir it up. But if they, whatever sin they do have in their heart, it'll become more sinful. Okay, now, you cannot use your experience as a gauge. This is true, and that's just the way it is. Okay, let's look at the works of the flesh and see how we as believers deal with them. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, they're revealed, which are these? Adultery. Uh-oh, there's another one of the Ten Commandments. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. There's another one of the Ten Commandments. A violation of the Ten Commandments. Witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy. Indians, murders, drunkenness, reveling, of such like, of which I tell you for, as I've told you in time that they which do such thing shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, here again, these are the works of the flesh. Here, there's some of them that are a violation of the Ten Commandments. They're sin. See, just because we're not to live by the Ten Commandments doesn't mean the sinful desires are no longer sin. Of course they are. We just deal with them in faith. See, when I say we don't live by the law, I don't say, oh, those things are not sin anymore. We need to go do them. No, by the law is the knowledge of sin. There's sin is sin. It's still sin. We're just living under a new covenant, and we deal with it by faith. We deal with it by the Spirit, and we're going to see that written in these scriptures right here, that we don't deal with the works of the flesh by the Ten Commandments. We deal with it by faith and by the Spirit, or by the Spirit through faith. See, but people, they don't understand this, and they'll say, well, we see here some of these works of the flesh are violations of the Ten Commandments, and it says here that they're wrong. Well, of course, they're still, like I said, they're still sin. Now, look at Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Okay, so the purpose of the law of Moses is to give us the knowledge of sin, but not to overcome sin. All right? The law of Moses strengthens sin in us. It makes sin come alive. It causes sin to rule over us. Then it makes us guilty. So you ministers want to do that to people? Not me. I'm going to obey the commission and preach the gospel, the good news of the gospel. The gospel puts a death sin. The law, the Ten Commandments makes sin come alive. Now, verse 19 through 21 talks about the works of flesh. Now, go down to verse 24, and we'll see how we are to deal with and overcome the works of the flesh. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust. Here we go. We're back to water baptism, being crucified with Christ. Well, we don't put to death our fleshly members. We don't cut off our hands and cut out our tongue to stop sinning. We crucify the sin in the flesh, which is the old man. See, once you make the connection that it's sin in us, in the seventh chapter of Romans is the old man, in the sixth chapter of Romans, that the sin in us causes the works of the flesh, and then you go to Galatians 5 and you know how to deal with it in faith, then, and the way you do it is you believe Jesus died, you died with him, Jesus was buried, we're buried with him, Jesus rose from the dead, we were raised up with him through the faith of the operation of God. See, I'm telling you, here again, it's tying it back to dealing with sin by water baptism. See, and as you die to sin, look how you will walk in your daily life. Next verse. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, now, if you go back to verse 16, right before it starts talking about the works of flesh, look how it says to deal with the works of flesh. And we're going to tie these all together. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's dealing with the works of flesh. It doesn't tell you, keep applying the Ten Commandments and you'll stop the works of the lust of the flesh. No, you won't. You'll sin more. I'm telling you, you better look at what the law of Moses does to people. This is when the law really kicks in and makes people sin more. You start saying, man, I got to overcome this sin. I am going to apply the Ten Commandments. I'm going to apply those 10 commandments and I'm going to overcome this. No, it's, you want to overcome it? This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's read that in the complete Jewish Bible. What I'm saying is this, run your lives by the Spirit, then you will not do what your old nature wants. See, now here, this translator said the works of the flesh are your old nature. That's what I say. I believe he's got the right translation. That's what that is. It's sin in us. I can show you different places in the Bible. The sin in us produces these acts. Well, Romans 7 is one of them. See, now, we overcome the works of flesh by the Spirit. This is overcoming sin by grace, through faith. And we saw how that even when you're bound or your faith is weak, you're going to have trouble believing. Just make the effort to believe and obey the words of God. And you'll be walking after the Spirit and you'll overcome. You'll be able to believe, and then you'll be able to believe more and more, and your faith will be perfected. Now, let's talk about what spirit we walk in. We're moving along fast, aren't we? What spirit we walk in when we believe the gospel? Well, it's clear. It's the Spirit of God working and moving where the gospel is preached, where the word of God is put in practice. John 16. I have yet many things to say unto you. This is Jesus talking. These are red letters, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, come, this Holy Spirit has come, he will guide you into all truth. And he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, you know, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's John 8:31-32. And the Holy Spirit has to lead you and guide you into all truth. Now back to John 16, verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. Now listen to this. The Spirit of God will take what Jesus accomplished on the cross and minister it to us as he guides us into all the truth. The Spirit of God will take all the salvation that Jesus gave to us, which is being set free from sin, forgiveness of sin, healing, prosperity of our soul, and financial prosperity, safety, protection, everything we'll need. That Greek word there for salvation in several places called soso. It's an all-inclusive word. It provides everything for us. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus provided a complete salvation for you. And it says it is the power of God to bring that salvation to you. The power that the Father worked in Jesus when he raised him from the dead is the power to bring every one of these great and precious promises to us. Okay, now, the Spirit of God is moving in the earth to bring to pass God's will when the gospel is preached. And there is faith, or where there is faith, the Spirit of God will be moving. And where God's word is taught, the Spirit of God is there. Now, look at Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. See, this is the way God worked. This is the Godhead in operation, folks. The Spirit of God was moving in God. And, you know, the Spirit of God moves in line with the mind of the Father and the Son. And they're all in agreement. And the Spirit of God was moving, and God said, then God said, let there be light, and it came to pass. See, we also see where God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to him. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit make up the Godhead, and they move and act as one, and they're all working together for the same purpose. Now, 1 John 5:7, let's read that. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So these three are one. Three divine persons, one God. This is the true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is Jehovah. Verse 8, and there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. Amen. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we're going to play The Family of God by Pamela Pontia. And this song has recently been remastered and produced by Hakeem, Pam's executive producer. You know, I'll tell you this. I told Pam years back, I said, you need to go out into the highways and the byways with your singing. And when she, you know, I'll tell you this. When she first started singing, her voice was terrible. But you know what? She believed that she was supposed to sing. And it didn't take long before God changed her voice. I mean, it was a miracle. And I think we still got that somewhere. Watch, put that up, a recording of her singing before God changed her voice. It was terrible. And now her voice is beautiful and her vocal skills are great. And she has no vocal training. Now, she had a teacher that taught her Spanish and a different one, Romanian and Portuguese, but she didn't have any vocal training. You know, and you know, Pam, she learned Spanish just so she could sing the song Via Dolorosa. And her Spanish teacher said she did it perfect. And then Pam met Hakeem at an open mic, and now they're working together. And Hakeem, this man's very talented. He's a singing artist, a songwriter, producer, composer. And Pam and Hakeem just recorded a song called Cosas de la Vida, if I'm pronouncing it right. And it's currently playing on 7 radio stations. So what I told Pam's come to pass. She's going out in the highways and the byways. And anyway, let's go ahead and hear The Family of God by Pamela Pontia. Now, let's look at the Spirit that's being ministered to us when someone preaches and teaches the Ten Commandments. Can anybody out there tell me what Spirit that is? The Word of God tells us what spirit is ministering the Ten Commandments. The Apostle Paul called the Galatians foolish who received the preaching of the gospel, and yet were trying to go back under the law. Let's look at that, verse 2. This only would I learn of you, receive ye the spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? See, they believed the gospel, and the Spirit of God was working in them, changed them. They tried to go back under the law, and Paul called them foolish. Said, having begun the spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Okay? And like I said, Paul called them foolish because they had begun being changed, believing the gospel. And he said, are you going to be perfected by the flesh, which is practicing the law? Okay, let's go to the 11th verse. Paul says this, Galatians 3. But that no man is justified by the law, the sight of God is evident. The just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Now, Paul is still writing to the Galatians. He says in the 4th chapter, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You know, and to come into sonship, you have to be redeemed or loosed from the law of Moses. Then, in verse 21, Paul asks these Galatians a question. Tell me, ye that desire to be in the law, do ye not hear the law? Then Paul used an allegory comparing Abraham's two sons, and one's born of a free woman, the other's by a bondwoman. And Paul compares the person under the law as being born by the bondwoman and is in bondage with her children, and the other son born by the free woman. And so faith, and through faith we get set free by the law. Or we stay in bondage, or if we're the bondwoman, we stay in bondage. Now, I said all this to show you who it's talking about in verse 1, the third chapter of Galatians. And there it tells us what spirit is ministered when you preach the Ten Commandments. So keep all this in context and you'll see this. Galatians 3:1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? There's the spirit that the Galatians were yielding to, that ye should not obey the truth. What's the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you. Preaching the truth is preaching the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. And they had been bewitched. A spirit of witchcraft was trying to turn them away from the gospel and get them to follow the Ten Commandments. And it was a spirit of witchcraft leading them away from just trusting the gospel, but trying to keep the law of Moses to perfect them, to be righteous. See, that's witchcraft that has gotten into the church. Well, actually, it's never been totally all rooted out. And they keep it, trying to incorporate the Ten Commandments in with the preaching of the gospel. And you know, I just found out recently that Texas is implementing a bill called Senate Bill 10, where it requires a display of the Ten Commandments in all public schools. This law was passed by the Texas legislature and signed into law by Governor Greg Abbott. And you know, I know Governor Abbott thinks he's doing the right thing, but he's not. He doesn't have understanding. He doesn't realize what he's doing. Now, I'm just going to tell you, and I'm going to keep speaking these things. It says to rebuke, reprove with all long-suffering and doctrine. That's what I'm going to do. But according to the Word of God, trying to implement the law of Moses and incorporate it into the gospel is tempting God. This is challenging God. And I showed everybody that last week, right out of the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. Now I'm showing you right out of the book of Galatians that this is a spirit of witchcraft. So they are working at ministering a spirit of witchcraft all over the state of Texas. And the Apostle Paul calls all of you foolish. Many religious leaders are going to think this is wonderful. We're putting morality back in the land. No, you're not. You're ministering self-righteousness and witchcraft and death. And this is going to bind people up and make sin become alive in them and excite them to do more sin. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe all these scriptures that we're reading out of the Bible, what the law does? You're going to have to put this in your eyes, put this in your heart, and see what it says. And you know, you say, well, what should we put on the classroom America? Well, how about the gospel? Tell them they're justified by faith in the gospel. You know, we should put out the ministry of justification, not the ministry of condemnation and death. I'm going to tell you something right now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to open the eyes of the blind and administer a spirit of understanding. You say, I'm not blind. I understand. Well, then why can't you read the law of Moses as a ministry of death and condemnation in 2 Corinthians 3, 7 and 9? Why can't you read Romans 5, 20, the law entered to make sin increase? Why can't you read Romans 7, 6, we have to be delivered from the law that held us so we could serve in newness of spirit or walk in God's spirit? If you're not blind, you understand, why can't you read Romans 7, 13, that sin in us by the commandment makes us exceedingly sinful? Do you want people to sin more and then be guilty? Do you want people to be cursed? Because you're cursed if you're under the law of Moses. Look, y'all, the Bible is written on a fifth grade level. So I conclude, those of you that want to implement the Ten Commandments are blind and don't understand you are ministering a spirit of witchcraft. We are to preach the gospel by the Spirit of God sent down from heaven. So you better take heed to what I'm saying. I do have the Word of God in my mouth. You know, I thank God that I'm seeing more and more prominent people in the land stand up and profess their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is absolutely wonderful. And we need to restore morality to our land, but it has to be the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Then it'll be by God's Spirit, and there'll be grace there, and there'll be mercy there, and God will be setting people free. We don't need to be preaching self-righteousness. Paul said, not having my own righteousness, self-righteousness, which is by the law. See, and here in Galatians, it says it's a spirit of witchcraft. See, and as you read the third and the fifth chapter of Galatians, you'll see contracting differences between the flesh and the Spirit of God and faith and the law of Moses. See, the faith of God and the Spirit of God are compatible, and the works of the flesh and the law of Moses are contrary to the faith of God and the Spirit of God. See, and so when you sit there and watch them trying to put them together, you people don't know what you're doing. They're contrary one to another. Galatians 3:5, he therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and work of miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Now Paul's trying to say, look, we went on to perfection by the Spirit. We started by the Spirit as you believe the gospel, and the Spirit is ministered by faith, not the law. So we minister Spirit by faith. We walk in the Spirit as we get in faith, and as we do that, we don't fulfill the lusts of flesh. As we walk in the Spirit, we can overcome the works of the flesh. All right? Now, it's easy to understand, you know, people, it's easy for their mind to understand practicing the law of Moses. You know, you just make an effort to do this and not to do that. And so that just makes perfect sense for everybody. We were all raised to do what was right, not to do things wrong. But when it comes to walking in spirit, we're all like, okay, well, how do I do that? So we have trouble relating to that. So when we read those things, we just kind of go over them and just, you know, because until you get times where you pray and then you're moving and led around by the Spirit to do something, you really don't know what that means. But let me tell you something. The Word of God teaches us that as we mind the things of the Spirit, set our affection, our interest on God's Word and what God is doing, read His Word, pray His Word, believe the gospel, we will get filled up with His Spirit and then walk in God's Spirit, walk in His Spirit. Now, I'm just going to tell you this, and this holds true for many things in life. Some things in life you can only learn by experience, and this is definitely one of them. And, you know, we all, Ephesians 2 said, we all walked around being led by the prince of power of the air. That's the devil. So not me. I was never led by the wrong spirit. Oh, yes, you were. Ephesians 2 says you were. You know, and it came natural, and we didn't even know that's how we walked. Well, as you get set free from sin, you know, from the sin nature, and then you get out from underneath the law, then you can walk in God's Spirit, and you'll get to where it comes natural. Oh, yeah. Now, I want to address something about getting out from the law of Moses. It isn't just a matter of coming to the knowledge that I'm not to live by the law of Moses and say, okay, I won't live that way anymore. It's not that easy. Okay? Turn to Romans 7:14. For we know the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. Okay, that means sold to slavery, to sin. That's what that's saying. Let's read 2:14 and 15, second chapter, 14 and 15. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature things contain the law, these having not the law are law in themselves. Now look at this, which show the work of the law written in our hearts. That's where the law is written, in all the Gentiles' heart. The conscience also bearing witness, their thoughts of meanwhile excusing one another. So two things we can see about the law of Moses. Number one, it's spiritual. We just read that, the law is spiritual. And number two, it's written in our hearts. So the law of Moses are spiritual writings in our hearts. They are ordinances, regulations, law. Now, the law of Moses is good, but it's against us. It's contrary to us. It works on the sin in us. It makes it exceedingly sinful. It gives us the knowledge of sin, which is good. The law, but it makes us sin also, and it makes us guilty. And of course, God knew this when he wrote it in our hearts, because it puts us all in the position where we needed to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the longer you resist God, the more you go into sin, the more you go, oh my God, I need Jesus. So, but then when you come to Jesus, you need to get free from that. Okay? It's not, the law's not made for a righteous man. You can find that in 2 Timothy somewhere. But for the people that continue in their sin. All right. So you want to get out from underneath the law once you come to the Lord, because it's working on the sin in you. So to overcome the activity of the law of Moses in our hearts, we have to have it taken out of our hearts. And that's one of the things Jesus accomplished on the cross. All right, turn to Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, or out of our heart, nailed it to his cross. Okay, God not only wrote the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone, but he also wrote them in the fleshly table of our heart, and it has to be erased from our heart, so it doesn't work on the sin in us. And, you know, I just read the King James Version of Colossians 2:14 about blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. All the other translations I read says blotting out the charges against us. And I believe the only translation that got it right is the King James, because where there is a handwriting of charge, you know, it doesn't. There's not, you know, where is there a handwriting of charges against? Besides that, an ordinance is a law, not a charge. Okay, so what I'm getting at is we have to mix faith with that Jesus nailed the law of commandments on the cross, not a charge against us. You know, people can say all kinds of stuff. Anybody can charge us of any sin. It is the law that he nailed to the cross so he could take it out of our heart. You don't need to take away some charge against us. Our charges are all forgiven. He paid for them. Anyway, God will have to open your understanding. I believe the King James got it right. So we have to have the law erased from our heart. Now, we know we're delivered from the law as we die of the old man. So that needs to take place also. Let's read that in Romans 7, 6, International Standard Version. But now we have been released from the law by dying to what enslaved us, so we may serve in the new life spirit, not on the old writings. Let's read the New Living Translation, because I'm getting a little bit of adjustment hard. I may not have this just right. But now we have been released from law, for we died to it. Now this one's talking about we died to the law, and we are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the spirit. Okay. Now, I've taught that we had to die the sin nature first, then we're released from the law. But I may not have that part right. I may have got that wrong, because it talks about dying to the law in these passages also, not just Romans 7, 6, but it says it earlier. But either way, we have to die the law and put to death the old man. We have to do both of them. So, one last thing. I hear ministers talking about the coming of the Lord in Bible prophecy being fulfilled. And you know, I watch that from time to time. Many others are watching these events unfold, you know, that we're drawing closer to the coming of the Lord. But keep in mind, the Lord is going to present to himself a glorious church. And I am convinced this is at his coming when he comes to get his people. Because this is in the context, Ephesians 5, of him presenting to himself a glorious church like his bride. So I believe before the Lord comes back, his body of believers will be getting all the spots and the blemishes taken out of them. And I believe that's the sin in us. And we're going to have the glory of God on us. And folks, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. If we were clean, if we were all clean on the inside, had a revelation of the gospel, and those of us that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we would be walking like they are in the book of Acts. Okay? I'm just telling you. I've touched on this. I'll touch on it again, but I'm not going to get into this in this broadcast. And I don't see right now, I know there's some of God's people, I'm sure there's some of God's people know this, but I see many of God's people don't know how to get ready for the coming of the Lord. They think just knowing about when he's coming is getting ready. No, getting ready is getting the spots and the blemishes taken out. And I don't believe these people know how to get the spots and blemishes out of their heart. I don't believe they know how to be made the temple of God. And many of them have been told, you know, there's a lot of lies that got to be pulled down. People believe they're a new creature in Christ instantaneously when we receive the Lord. I'm going to just keep showing you one scripture or another of the working, God doing a work in your heart after you receive Jesus, of forming the new man. I'm going to show you one scripture after another of God dealing with the old man after you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you about him building the temple, and I have taught on this, after you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and that temple is what can hold the Spirit. I've shared about the parable of the bottles, that's the old man passing away, the new man being formed, and that bottle, once that new man is formed, that bottle can hold the Spirit. I've tied all these things together. They all fit together. And so the body of Christ, most I've heard do not know these things. And in fact, I don't know some of them that know it all. Well, nobody knows it all. But anyway, let's see if the Lord wants to say any more. We're already at 38 minutes plus the song. Be about 40. That may be good enough. I believe I sowed some more truth. I know I did. Some more truth in your heart. And the truth will set you free. And the word of God I speak, I am sowing seed in your heart. And every seed produces after its kind. It'll produce the nature of God in your heart. And so we're working on the new man being formed and the old man passing away. And so thank God. If there's anybody out there, you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ, never been born again, this is your opportunity. Just repeat after me and say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I just receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Repeat that after me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I thank you that you died for me, you were buried, and you were raised from the dead to justify me. I just give thanks right now. Amen. If you said that prayer and you meant it, the Spirit of Christ has entered into your heart, and now you belong to the Lord. And if you'll continue in the truth will make you free. So I invite you to tune back in next Sunday to the next week's podcast and continue in the truth. And it'll set you free. It works, folks. This word works. If you'll believe all you can, put the word in your heart, walk by faith, walk out of spirit, you will see results in your life. They may not, and they'll pick up speed. It may be slow at first, but it'll work. I guarantee it'll work. The only way it won't work is if you quit. And so the devil's going to pound on you and try to get you to quit. And you say, well, I've been walking with the Lord. I don't have the devil's pounding me. Well, let me tell you two reasons it could be. One thing, it says, if need be, we're in manifold temptation. You may not need to go through one yet, or it may not be time for God to lead you into some temptations yet. So that's one thing. And people that got entangled with a bunch of sins, the devil has a stronger hold on them and he torments them more. Some people that stayed away from sin, younger people that never got entangled in all these sins, they live a happier life. They really do. And they don't have the problems a people that went and got into all the sin. Just the way it is. There's consequences for getting entangled with sins. Now, that doesn't mean those that didn't get entangled with all these sins still don't have to get the law of Moses taken out of their heart and to get sin purged out of their heart. It just means some of them don't have the problems that others have. Okay? And so, and if you've been raised in a Christian home, you've been around people that taught you the right thing, you've kept a clean conscience, thank God for you, but don't think you're better than anybody else, okay? You know, when Peter was converted, Jesus said, go help your brother. He didn't say, go point your finger at your brother. I will never do that. I'm here to help the body of Christ. I'm here to minister to people. I'm not here to put anybody down. I have some experience of walking through these things. I can help you, and that's what I'm here for. I'm here to minister the Spirit of God to you. I'm here to expose some of the methods of the devil. I know the way the devil works. I know some of his methods. I'm not saying I know them all. I'm learning new things about God all the time. God's always teaching me. He gives me revelation and understanding all the time. Almost every week he reveals something new to me for me to teach. That's the truth. I'm telling you, it's the truth. He's been doing that for years. He's been teaching me. It's not me doing it. He told me many years ago, I think it was in 83, he said, you're going to minister by the seven spirits of God. And you can find that written in Isaiah 11 about, and this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, but he ministered by the seven spirits of God. But you see, we are to walk like Jesus walked. And he's always done that with me. See, there's a lot of people out there speaking the word of God, and we all have knowledge, but knowledge puff up. But walking in it will build you up. That's love. Love is keeping the words of God, and it'll build you up. You need understanding to get built up. But anyway, God's given me knowledge, but he's been working a spirit of understanding in me for years. That's why I understand the word of God. That's why I can put it all together, because it's my spirit of understanding. So I can help you out there. I can minister to you. And that's what I want to do. So, Father, I just give thanks for all the listeners this day. And I pray, Father, those that have taught error, that you would correct them. You know, it says if you see someone in an error, go to them in the spirit of meekness, you know, and consider yourself. And, you know, it says in the, Matthew 7, it says, first get the beam out of your own eye, and then you can help get the splinter out of your brother's eye. See, God set me free, not so I can come point my finger at you, but so I can help you get set free. All right? That's how the body of Christ is. You know? And it says, love covers a multitude of sin. I'm not here to go, oh, I got you for that sin. No, I'm not here to do that to you. I'm here if I see a sin, I'll cover it if all possible. Now, I know there's a place for speaking some people's sins and having to speak sin. And there's a few rare occasions where the Word of God says, then that sin rebuke for all. But you don't sit there and try to take the Word of God and hurt somebody and embarrass somebody and shame them where they can't handle it. And then drive them away from God. So they just couldn't walk with God. Uh-huh. Sure they couldn't. You drove them away from God. All right. I don't think I got any more. Thank God for every person out there. It says the grace of God abounds in people through thanksgiving. That's why I keep thanking God for everybody. All right. Everybody have a great day. God bless.